Well, we move on now to look at the first reading and the psalm. Then, of course, we'll go to the second reading and so forth. And then, because I've already treated of the part of that letter to the Corinthians that is in the second reading, so I'll only pick up now when I come to that second part. Verses, I think it's 12 to 13, yes. All right. So what we have now is the narrative of the day of Pentecost. Commentators are, there's a broad spectrum of how they understand this. We're going to take sort of a mainline approach. And on the completion of the day, that is the time of Pentecost, they were all together in one place. Luke likes that phrase. He often uses that in the summary statements in Acts, describing the life of the community in these summaries. He always puts the accent, among others, on the fact that they were together, which is very important to him, as it should be to anybody. They were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a strong rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it rested on each one of them, and all were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them to utter. Now, we probably know the place where all this took place. If you're ever in Jerusalem and you're standing facing the Jaffa Gate, turn left, walk down the street till you come to a first century synagogue, or really it turned into a church after a while. That's probably the place of the upper room and the cenacle and all the rest. So people were all gathered all around. They heard this wind, they saw all the action, and they came, you see? Whether they saw the fire and the tongues, hard to say. It looks as though that just was resting on each one of those who were still in the upper room. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them to utter. That's another dimension of the gift of tongues, huh? It still happens. I know people who have been in countries where they did not know the language at all, especially Eastern European countries, and they would speak their language, but the people would hear it in their language. It seems to be the way that that works. Or sometimes, all of a sudden, they know how to speak this language, and they speak it. It's quite a miracle, but it's needed for the preaching of the gospel. So they were dwelling in Jerusalem. Now these are dwellers. You see, it says they weren't just the people who would be there, and there would be thousands of them for the feast. They were in Jerusalem, see, kadikuntes, those who lived there. And they were devout from every nation under heaven. And when that sound occurred, the crowd assembled and was confused, because each one of them was hearing them speaking in his own language. And they were astonished and marveled, saying, "Are not all these speakers Galileans? And how does each one of us hear in our own language in which we were raised?" And then there's a list of who was gathered there. Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the part of Libya near Cyrene, and Roman visitors. They were Jews and proselytes. They were Cretans and Arabs. And we hear them speaking in our own languages of the great deeds of God. That is the first explosion of the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's very illustrative. The Spirit enables communication. Now, what we have here, of course, is the Spirit undoing the Tower of Babylon. There, men were divided by their languages. Here, these diverse languages are gathered and spoken by these apostles. And so that's the, it's amazing, the first part is more significant in one way or another there, huh? Because it's talking about what happened to them. They saw these flames. I mean, there it is. It's over Peter's head. Now it's over, and there's one on John's head and so forth. And they were, but the most remarkable part is these tongues of fire. And just before I make this next remark, I want to check out the text because Osper Phenomenes Dios Dios. In mystical language, there's these phrases like as of or like, as they try to explain something of heavenly origin. The mystics speak this way also about their prayer life, you see? And so there appeared divided tongues, as it were, of fire. And it settled on each, and they settled on each one of them. See, it was like a fire over each one of them. And they began, therefore, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the grace. This is what has been prophesied over and over and over again in the Old Testament. Now it's taking place. I will pour out my Spirit over and over again. And finally, the Joel text, the young men will see visions and so forth. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. That's the Pentecost. That's what made Pentecost, this work of the Spirit. First place, filling them not only with languages but with courage and with insight. All of a sudden, Peter can stand there before 3,000 people and give a speech. Now, whether the speech we have in Acts is exactly what he said, or whether that's combining other things in other places, we don't know. But the point is that this fisherman from the north is standing there outside the synagogue, and it's the whole square, there's still a square there, is filled with people. And he's explaining to them all what's going on. And that's the important part, huh? Is his ability to explain and the impact that his explanation makes on his audience. They were astonished and marveled, saying, are not all these speaking Galileans? And how does each one of us hear in our own language, the language in which we were raised? And then it goes through this list of Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and so forth, as I've already read for you. We hear them speaking in our languages of the great deeds of God. Where did Peter start? Did he start with the call of Abraham? Did he start with Jesus? We don't know. We don't have any words of this. But these words were so powerful, coming from a very convinced spirit and being endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word, about which we've spoken quite a bit, huh? To this day, when the Word is really preached in power, there is enlightenment and there can even be physical healing. Imagine then this speech, you see? So then Luke gives this list: Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia. There doesn't seem to be much order in the speech. I mean, he's not going around in a circle. But we hear them speaking in our own languages of the great deeds of God, the Megalia. And so they were all astonished and at a loss, one saying to another, what does this mean? Others jeering were saying, They are filled with new wine. My friends, let's reflect on how the Trinity had planned to begin the church. By going back to Sinai, this is the feast of the 50th day, so it's the day in which, by the time Acts, the events here in Acts were, took place, celebrating Sinai. And so we're back at Sinai, and there was a tradition there that when the Lord spoke, it was heard in many, many languages. And so this is the new law. This is the new Torah. And this is the new Moses, St. Peter. Now, he doesn't replace. He brings to a higher level. We still keep the Ten Commandments. We still read the Psalms. You see, it's not done away with. It's brought to a new level. And so, that is the Feast of Pentecost. How do we understand it? Well, there's only one way. It's to receive the Holy Spirit. And realize the convincingness, the clarity, the power, the joy, the courage. Gosh, in my life I've done things I would never do if it weren't for the Holy Spirit. I would never do them. Preach to a big crowd on the street, things like that. But travel with these young kids who are street preachers, try to keep them in line, it wasn't hard. And you see, we're empowered to do what we can't do. And you see, one of the great empowerments is martyrdom. Because the Holy Spirit brings us into contact with Christ, who is fixed in the act of love in which he died and still filled with the courage that he had when he died. There's a story about one of the women martyrs who gave birth in jail. And she was having, you know, the pain of childbirth. The jailer hollered in, "If you're having that much trouble having a baby, what are you going to do when they put you out there?" She said, "I don't worry about out there. Here, I'm suffering. Out there, someone else will suffer in me. I'm not worried about that." That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so, that's this second reading. I want to touch very briefly now on the psalm. Because it's this beautiful psalm of creation. And I'm going to have to get it out. I don't know. I don't have my Hebrew text. I don't know what happened to it. Whoops, maybe this is it. It's part of it anyway. Lord, send out your Spirit. This is Psalm 104. Bareki nafshi et Adonai. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. Oh, Lord, my God, you are great indeed. How manifest are your works, manifold are your works, O Lord. The earth is full of your creatures. And then they skip some spot. If you take away their breath, they perish and return to their dust. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created and renew the face, and you renew the face of the earth. That line of the psalm applies to us. You see, without the Holy Spirit, we're just dust. But with the Holy Spirit, we have an understanding, we have courage to preach to the world, and the world needs it. We have to pray. Those words of the psalm are fulfilled in us, huh? And then we can say, as the last words of the psalm say, last words we have in our text, may the kavod, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Us, we're his works, and the works done through, he does through us. Rejoice them. Can you imagine how the Father rejoiced to see all these children of his coming from all these countries we just heard about and listening to the work that was done by his Son and hearing and feeling in their own spirit the call to salvation? That's the Feast of Pentecost.